You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Welcome back to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. And at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Well, it is yet again a wonderful day in the neighborhood, and I'm glad to have a featured guest on the show today that I am just thrilled to have on the show. His name is Marshall Shannon, and Marshall Shannon has more than 30 years of ministry leadership experience with 18 years as senior pastor of a growing church. He's been involved in training young men for the ministry, assisting church planners in directing mission endeavors, and he started his business, current business, Ministry Design Concepts, out of a burden to help ministries overcome the frustrations and lack of resources so many ministries face. And by connecting ministry leaders with trusted industry professionals, through his coaching services and providing ministry audits and encouragement, Marshall is dedicated to combating the challenges faced by the 21st century. Marshall Shannon, welcome to the Career Callings radio program, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much, Robbie.
Yeah, man. Well, I tell you what, if you don't mind, take a second or two to kind of add a little bit to that intro. Tell us a little bit more about yourself and kind of how you got to where you are in your career journey.
Well, I was actually headed in a completely different direction as a young man and came to faith in Christ as a teenager. And through that, ended up in a church that clearly preached the gospel and influenced me. Finally got a man in my pathway that really encouraged me to consider Christian education. I had my own business by the time I was in high school and also ended up in a management program in the retail business. And so I thought, along with the scholarship I had to state school, that my pathway was pretty well lined up to continue either with my own business or to accept the offer for the management position. And the Lord just pressed down on me, Robbie, that I really needed to change the trajectory of my life. And it was toward a Christian university that he wanted me to go, never seen the place. Ended up there and still thought I would go into business. Ended up, God called me to preach and to pastor. And so it completely changed where I was headed to pastoring, and then now I pastor pastors. I probably need to explain that, but I do that in two ways. One is with how they go about structuring their ministries and shepherding their flocks, and the other is to pastor them through their building programs. So I have two streams of income. One is business development for a builder who specializes in churches, and then my own ministry design concepts, where I am helping pastors with their ministry design and with their personal lives through executive coaching.
Okay. Well, I have a couple of follow-up questions based on some stuff you've already said. Number one, I'm just curious, what was that business you started in high school?
I started cutting grass and doing lawn maintenance when I was 9 years old, and I didn't go and hand out flyers door-to-door through my neighborhood. The neighbors, next-door neighbors, saw me cutting my yard, saw that I was very careful and meticulous, and took my time. I guess as a 9 or 10 year old, I did a good job. And so he asked me to do his yard, and I said, well, yes, sir. And he told me how much. My eyes got big. I thought, wow. So I did one, and that led to, you know, half a dozen, then a dozen, and then from there up. And so by the time I was driving a car at 16 years of age, I was working nearly full time on my own, cutting grass purely by word of mouth. And I found out one week when talking to my dad about how much I had made that week, just cutting grass, you know, pushing a lawnmower.
Uh-huh.
I told dad, my dad stopped, looked at me and said, "You made as much as I did."
Oh, wow.
So I knew, you know, and I'm not a spring chicken. This was years ago, but I knew right then, I said, wait a minute, I could make a good living if I would hire and build a crew of guys and let the word of mouth take me all over the place. And my parents were connected as business people to lots and lots and lots of people. And so there, you know, there was a career path, had I chosen to do it, would have been to have started that, got it going. And then I ended up looking at a management opportunity with a retail company. And I just ended up, the Lord just pressed on me, no. And I pouted. I mean, I resisted.
I'm going to ask you more about that in a second, but let me break in here real quick and just say, your example of doing so well with that lawn business just reminds me of something I've heard for years, that the best marketing is word of mouth, and the best way to generate word of mouth marketing is to do an excellent job. And it all started with you doing a meticulous job on your own yard. And then it just went from there. That's a great, great example of that. Now, I do want you to go ahead and dive into the second part of that thing, which is I specifically would like to know, how did the Lord direct you away from your plans? And I'd like to hear a little bit more about that and the pouting part too, if you don't mind. That sounded pretty good.
Well, I have pouted with the Lord more than once over, but Lord, that doesn't make sense. Why would you pave the way for me to have a full ride to a state school, opportunities for a career path with a company that was doing very, very well, and they came after me. I, you know, was going to school and had my lawn business, but the Lord began impressing upon me as an 18-year-old, and it was my summer after my graduation from high school. He put a youth pastor in my pathway to begin broadening my vision and deepening my vision for who God was and what God might want to do with my life. I don't remember, Robbie, hearing the gospel clearly explained until I was 14, 15 years of age. And when I heard it, I had to mull over, what does this mean? Because there was a real void in my thinking. And I'm not casting any stones at my family or the church we had grown up in. I just wasn't resonating with me. And so through that, I didn't know enough after just knowing the Lord for less than 3 years. I didn't know how he would communicate to me, but I will tell you my experience is that he in my conscience was just speaking to me, and it seemed as though it was almost audible. So much that one day in my bedroom, at my office desk there in my bedroom, I was trying to write a letter, and the Lord kept pressing on me, hey, you need to go to this particular school. And I had been arguing with him about that, and he kept pressing, saying, you need to go there to mature and grow. I've got plans for you. And I thought, no, that's just not, that makes sense. And
he was dragging you kicking and screaming, wasn't he, pal?
Yes, and I slammed the pen down on the desk and verbally said out loud, I will go if you will give me peace and let me sleep and quit this turmoil that is inside of my soul, where he had just stirred me up and the Holy Spirit convicting me. My mom, who was working in the kitchen down the hallway, heard me say that and came and looked at me and said, who are you talking to?
Are you crazy, boy?
Mom, I'm talking to the Lord, and he is just pressing on me that I need to go to this particular university. And I'd never been there. I don't know the two people there. I don't understand why he would do this. It's in another state. And I have no idea why he would do this. Secretly, what I didn't know is my parents were praying.
Oh.
That direction. And the youth pastor had won their hearts and awakened them to the possibilities. And so they were in cahoots with God.
My friend, you never had a chance if your parents were in cahoots with God. Never had a chance. Well,
I can tell you this. I learned at 18 years of age, one way that God regularly communicates to me, and it's a physical thing where he would just make me sick. So he's working on my mind, he's working on my soul, and he works on me physically in ways that I stop now 40 years later and go, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? My problem, Robbie, is I often go on autopilot, meaning I had the lawn business as a young man. I'd gotten working for this retail business. They were really pulling on me to go into management. They saw something that they liked or wanted. Maybe there's just a void of leadership or capabilities for young people. And I was reared to work hard and to be diligent and to do my best, whether my best was C+ or A+. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the Lord got a hold of me, and I finally just get some relief. Said, I will do what you ask me to do. It scares me to death. I don't know where the money's going to come from. I don't know anybody there, and I'm stepping into some place I know nothing about. And I went and obeyed him. I believe that was a step where God would ask me to do those kind of hard things over and over again. And he was mm-hmm. building my relationship with him for me to trust him when it seemed dangerous, fearful, risky.
So many times when we're faced with a choice to go down the path that the Lord wants us to go down, it comes down to that. Who do you trust? Who do you listen to the most? You going to listen to your own human fear or to God's strong power? And just out of curiosity, what university did you go to?
It's a university in Greenville, South Carolina, named Bob Jones University.
Yeah. Very familiar with it. Yep. Just sent my oldest daughter off to school there about a month ago.
Oh, my goodness.
There are so many lessons I could pull from the story you already told us about your struggle to make a decision to follow the Lord. But I want to ask you, I want to put the ball in your court. What's the one lesson you would like the audience to gather from your story you've just related to us about your decision-making process from going from business into ministry?
Two things that weave together, I think, Robbie. One is, keep your ears open to listen to God. Be aware of him. And the other thing is, when I told you, I kind of go on autopilot when things are going really well, and I still do this. This is a constant battle for me, that God has to pull me off of autopilot where I become spiritually numb. Or I'm busy doing all the tasks he's given me, handling all the people he's put in my pathway, carrying out all the duties that are assigned to me, trying to do it with excellence and to honor him in everything that I'm doing. And I have a habit of going on autopilot thinking, well, this is it. I just continue on this pathway doing what I'm doing. And I sometimes, when I say put it on autopilot, I quit listening.
Hmm.
And he has to do something to get my attention. Like a pack mule, he hits me upside the head with a bridle or, for me, an axe handle to get my attention. So I would tell any man or woman who's going through serving the Lord not to go on autopilot, to continue to listen, because he may be directing you to someone or something that he's fixing to do something different. So I've had to learn, all right, I'm on autopilot. Just realize that. Lord, what are you wanting to say? Sometimes he's just jealous of my attention.
Mm-hmm.
He wants... And I have become not jealous of his attention. I've gotten busy being a man, doing my duty. So yep. It comes back to my relationship with him is primary.
Primary. Yeah, you're right. When you said that last sentence, it just jumped into my brain, the passage in the New Testament where Jesus is talking to Martha about Mary. You know, Martha's complaining about Mary just sitting at Jesus' feet rather than helping out with all the dinner dishes. And Lord just had to tell her, hey, look, Martha, you know, you got to take care of first things first. You build your relationship with me first, then go do your work. Because you're so right, Marshall. I think all of us are guilty of getting so into the day-to-day work. I know I have done it many times over the years, getting so hot and heavy after the day-to-day work, we neglect the relationship. And when we do that, we're just as guilty of as Martha was and as deserving as Martha was of the Lord's rebuke. And with that thought, we will go out into the break. Go get your bunny slippers and your bonbons ready for segment number two of the Career Callings Radio Show. See you in just a minute. I opened the digital doors of careercallings.net in 2014. I did the same with my daily devotional site, todaysquotefromgod.com, in 2012. Since day one, I've hosted both of my websites with award-winning HostGator. HostGator raises the bar for speed, reliability, support, and value. If you need a place to host your new or existing website, go to careercallings.net/resources to get 20% off new web hosting plans as a Career Callings listener. That's careercallings.net/resources. Discipline, mental toughness, physical conditioning, personal responsibility, work ethic, and a great way to pay for college. What am I talking about? The Olympic sport of fencing. Fencing builds all these character traits, and the Knights of Siena coaches who train tomorrow's champions today can help your child or grandchild develop these traits. To learn more, go to knightsofsiena.com. That's Knights of Siena, KnightsofSiena.com. And mention Career Callings to get your first month free.
Westgate Christian School is known for offering an excellent and affordable Christ-centered education. From K-3 through 12th grade, we engage our students in the classroom and we challenge them on the playing field with competitive sports like soccer, volleyball, basketball, and golf. At Westgate Christian, we know there's a time to learn and a time to play. Call 576-4953 and come take a tour. Meet our staff online at wbcs.org. Call 576-4953 today for more information.
Let me tell you about something my family did several years ago. We dropped our health coverage and joined Samaritan Ministries, a Christian medical needs sharing ministry that's been around since 1994. Joining Samaritan Ministries not only saved my family hundreds of dollars per month, it also helped us stop paying insurance premiums that were funding all kinds of unbiblical practices that we don't support. Every month, more than 49,000 households of Samaritan Ministries share more than $14 million in medical needs under a program that satisfies the Affordable Care Act's requirement that you have insurance or pay a penalty tax. The program also gives you total control over which doctors you see. The Romeiser family has found a health care home at Samaritan Ministries, and we'd like to invite you to join us. To learn more about Samaritan Ministries and if it's right for you, go to SamaritanMinistries.org. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And if you choose to apply, be sure to support Career Callings by letting them know that Robbie Romeiser referred you. The Romeiser family became Amazon Prime members years ago. With fast free shipping, exclusive access to movies and TV shows, ad-free music, unlimited photo storage, and free Kindle books, it was a no-brainer. To give Amazon Prime a free test drive for your family, go to careercallings.net/resources. That's careercallings.net/resources.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break to Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and at Career Callings, our purpose is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. And that's exactly what my guest, Marshall Shannon, is helping me do today, is figure out how to discover, prepare for, and pursue God's work for you. So with that, let's get back to Marshall Shannon. Now, a real quick recap of something we talked about a little bit earlier. Earlier in the show, you mentioned about how there was a time earlier in your life where you were faced with some confusion about which direction you would have the Lord lead you down. Has there been another time in your life when you were confused about which way God would have you go, and how did he clear the smoke for you?
Well, there are two. 15 years ago, when I was pastoring the church and it had grown significantly and our impact was being felt, and you know, you have to work hard at ministries to get them in their ministry design, how they're functioning, their methodology, the culture of the church. All of that takes very hard work from the top down. I mean, as a leader, when you're leading, and I just assumed, again, going on autopilot, that God was going to have me at that one church and continue to build that ministry, and we were seeing good success and exciting things happen, that's where God would lead me. And he came to me and said, nope. And I said, what? Just like I did when I was 18. Are you kidding me? You're fixing to move me out of here all? And it was very painful for me internally to tenure my resignation and to move away, not knowing what God was going to do with me. And I obeyed him, and I did it, and it was painful. And I had no idea that he wanted me to invest myself in pastoring pastors. So I went from pastoring one church through multiple growth pains, building programs, relocations, to pastoring a dozen at a time through those same experiences, both with what I call their ministry design, how the church is structured in its leadership, in its ministry, its programs, its projects, its activities, events, its shepherding models, its disciple-making process. All of that's ministry design. And also how to manage their space dynamics, how they use their campuses. I look back now at all the pain that went with giving that up and having to selfishly die to myself and follow the Lord, to be able to say, yes, I'm going to do that.
So if I heard you right, you resigned from that church without having a clear understanding of what your next step was supposed to be. Did I hear that right?
That is correct.
So
I did not have another church coming after me. I did not have a job lined up. I made a decision that my wife and I looked at each other and went, this is what she was convinced to. This is what God wants. This is what we'll do.
All right, two questions. Well, first a comment, then a question. Number one, I know you probably don't want me to do this, but first of all, kudos to you for being willing to obey the Holy Spirit's calling when you recognized it as being such. So many people, including myself, have faced similar decisions in life and have not obeyed the way you have. So kudos to you, number one. That was my comment. Now here's my question. What happened? How long after you left the church did it take for God to show you the next steps, and how did he show you the next steps?
He showed me the next steps by sending, and he has done this regularly, Robbie, to me, not every single time, but the vast majority of time, he gave me something to occupy my time. And, of course, I look for work to care for my family. My wife looked for work. And he gave us work to do, and we faithfully served him right where he put me, regardless of what the job was. So my years of practice of diligence paid off. And then I got a phone call and an offer to work for a church builder who built churches all over the country, and they wanted me to come in and be the front end of their process, both to sell and then to shepherd the church through the preparation and the planning, the design phase, all the way up till time to put a project manager on site to put the project out to bid and build the building. And what I got to do was take my experience as a pastor, both as the ministry architect for our church that I had done over those 18 years, and as a youth pastor and as an intern before that, and then also my experience having gone through multiple building programs, and I relocated the church twice physically, and I got to apply that knowledge as a leader to help other leaders prepare to do that, to avoid the pitfalls and landmines, but also to learn how to lead their leaders, their leadership teams and their congregation, dealing with the community, the government, to help them successfully navigate their way through their construction project. And I didn't see that on the front end. I didn't understand that's where God was heading. And he did not do that until I was willing to say yes on the painful end of walking away from the congregation I loved with every ounce of my being and the beautiful pleasure of seeing lives transformed through the gospel and stepping away from that. And it was painful and there were circumstances and it was not a pleasant time for me to do that, but I said yes. And then he gave me the opportunity to travel all over the country from stem to stern, from top to bottom, to come alongside pastors and their leadership teams to navigate through that has been a wonderful experience, magnificent experience. And my impact from human standpoint, Robbie, my impact has been increased multifold. Because not one church, but boodle caboodles of them, tons of churches, to have the opportunity to encourage and equip and educate one church family and one church leader after another in multiple ways in my arena of expertise.
Mm-hmm. And that actually answers my next question. How are you using your career to impact others for Christ? And you just answered that with how you're discipling the disciplers through the ways that you just described. So since you've already answered that question, let me move on to my next one. If you could recommend one book other than the Bible, we know on the Career Calling show that the Bible is the most important book any of us can read. But outside of the Bible, what would be one book you would recommend to the audience?
The one book that I would recommend is one by Jerry Bridges called Trusting God. And it has been beneficial to me as I have read it now at least four times. For me to get my thinking right, when I go through one of those very strong testing times, it has helped me prepare for them and help me in the midst of them to get my thinking right, my attitude right, and to understand and be reminded what God is doing and why I must trust him.
Amen. That's a read. That's a read I think all of us need to go get a copy of, and I think I'll do that myself. Absolutely. Well,
I don't know of anybody right now who wouldn't benefit either in the midst of what is happening or what's coming. For me anyway, it's a great read. A great help.
Fantastic. Well, I know I have been blessed, Marshall, by our conversation today, and I'm sure that our listeners have been as well. So in case someone wants to reach out to you and learn a little bit more about you and from you, what's the best way people can connect with you?
They can email me. Would you like me to give my email address?
Sure, feel free.
Okay. It's marshall@ministrydesignconcepts.com. Or they can reach me by phone, and I have a Google number, so it rings both my office number and my cell phone. It's 864-977-1632.
And we'll be sure to put those into the show notes of today's show, as well as a link to Marshall's website. And Marshall Shannon, thank you so much for being a guest on the Career Callings Radio Show today, sir, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
And that's a wrap on another edition of Career Callings. And as always, we had so much content with our interview from Marshall Shannon that we were not able to fit all of it on air. So I invite you to come to careercallings.net/radio or to subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Spreaker Radio, or TuneIn Radio to get all of the wisdom that Marshall Shannon shared with me today. Remember, as you go about your daily business, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless.
We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible. Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Marshall, let me ask you this question. Tell us about your worst career failure.
Oh, I was just thinking, is listening to you ask that question, because I have a couple to choose from that you might consider the worst.
I hear you.
I think one of the times that after college, and I was in grad school, I went back to one of the things I knew, and that was working in the retail business, and walked back in and filled out an application, and I had been very good at a particular job. And as they watched me, they wanted to move me into management. And I'm going to school. I was just wasn't looking to do it, you know, that particular retail business. I was planning to pastor a church, and so that's where my interest and drive. And I had walked away from the state school scholarship, walked away from my own business and the retail business where I was reared. And so they said, well, just would you come run the front end of the store? And I said, all right, I'll try it. Well, I was working in a church 190 miles away from home on the weekends, had a wife and a brand new kid, our first son, this little guy. So I've got, and going to school. So I'm just stretched where I was looking for hours to sleep, much less to add more work. And they put me on the front end of the store, and I just didn't have the personal resources. I think even if I had been rested, it could focus in on that. And it was very humiliating to me, because I did not experience failure in that way, where it was beyond my bandwidth to run a front end of a store at that time, and this is 35 years ago, was doing $400,000 a week in business. And that was many times bigger than any retail store I had worked in, at least double and triple and more other stores I had worked in. And it just gobbled me up. And finally, I asked, I said, hey, I think I need to go back to the other department. I just can't give it everything I've got, and I don't think it's a good fit. And so I learned something at that time, regardless of how gifted I am in some areas. There are other areas that I am not, and the task and the careers and the duties that I am assigned, it is much more beneficial, at least in my perspective, for me to do things that I am strong at instead of things that I am weaker at. And it just took more out of me than I could give, and I really failed at it. And so they, you know, it moved me out of it graciously back, and eventually I was able to walk away from that because it ended up being third shift to make it worse.
Now, did you fail at it just in your own mind, or did you actually miss some of the metrics that they were measuring you by as a manager?
I think I missed some of the metrics they were looking for. It just ended up being, they were asking for certain skill sets that I did not have polished and ready or ahead of my quiver to pull out and use. And part of it I did very well with. The people management part I did very well with. Some of the other things really stretched me. And so I really was very relieved when I got to step out of it. And so I learned through that to really give good thought to what my strengths are, my skill set, my experience, a personality type, as to where I belong in the workforce.
Yeah, that's such a huge clue. Yeah, I mean, that's a great career lesson, because that's one of the things I've learned throughout this journey. One of the biggest clues to what kind of work the Lord would have you to do is that He's given us all certain strengths, certain gifts, and we ought to really truly get familiar with what those are and use those as a guide for knowing generally, not necessarily specifically, but generally what kind of direction to go into. Let me talk to you about the other side of that coin. Marshall, what was your biggest career success?
When I finished my undergrad, I had the opportunity to begin working as an intern as a pastor, and then ended up full-time as a youth pastor, and eventually got to restart a church, and meaning that it had started 3 years before with 42 people, charter members, and it had grown to 15 charter members by the time they invited me to come speak. And the Lord gave me the opportunity to pastor the church. And some of the things I had learned growing up to that point, for instance, the failure, realizing my own strengths and weaknesses and how I'm packaged, how God packaged me in the womb, how he cultivated and nurtured me as I came to faith in him, and as he was developing me, I was learning how people were put together. And what that helped me do was build a team of people who would come alongside me and help me shepherd the church. And through that, I was able to build teams of people who were strong in areas I was not, who were wise in ways I was not, who were capable in ways I was not, and the ability really to impact the community and eventually the world through that one ministry where I served for just over 18 years. There were ups and downs that whole 18 years, but when I look back at what God did, and now I'm pastoring pastors as they struggle through the same thing, and there are a lot of churches that are in a place where they need to be revived, renewed, restarted, and that experience served me well to come alongside pastors as an executive coach to work with him to use some of the things that I've learned the last 40 years.
The big takeaway I have from that story is that God never made any of us to be an island unto ourselves. He expects us and designed us to partner with other people to accomplish his goals. So if you're struggling in your career or your business right now and you're wondering why, there could be any number of reasons, but one of the reasons might be you're trying to do it all by yourself. And you need to find those complementary people that the Lord has ready for you. And you need to pray for the Lord to show you who those people are so that you can partner up with them and accomplish God's work together. Marshall, you mentioned strengths and weaknesses a couple of different times here. So just real quick, tell me what your biggest weakness is.
I would say listening. I would say that listening has, and you would think it, because my strengths would be shepherding. One time when I was interviewing for a ministry, they called my references, and the one thing the references came back, and I did not know that they viewed me this way. They all said, well, he's a shepherd. And that's how they summarized my strengths and who I am. And that was eye-opening to me. I mean, I love pastoring. I love shepherding. My calling is to make disciples that will in turn make disciples. And so shepherding, caring for people, and helping them take that next step toward the Lord, following him. That shepherding strength, behind that comes sales and service, because I now work in an industry where I'm shepherding churches, in particular the pastor, through their building programs. So I'm doing sales and service and shepherding all balled up into one in my working with them as they renovate, relocate, and build new facilities.
So how do you deal with that weakness of listening? What do you do to shore that up?
I have to remind myself in different ways to focus in and keep my attention based and keep my mouth shut until they're finished. And I have some exercises I go through with people to help me summarize what they've said, and then verify that what I heard is what they said. And so repackaging sometimes what people have said, it helps me to listen. It is a lifetime labor on my part to recalibrate myself with God, who is the best listener in the universe ever.
Yep, that's true.
I mean, I guess that's how I would describing is that he listens, and he does something with what he listens to, that I need to listen like God listens, and I naturally do not.
Yep, I hear you. I'm kind of like that too, and I know a lot of people are, so thank you for the tip on how to try to overcome that. Have you ever been faced with a challenge to your faith in the workplace, which is kind of an odd question to ask, being that you're surrounded almost all the time by fellow Christians, but I don't want to leave that stone unturned in case you happen to have a story about how indeed it has been challenged.
No particular event jumps to mind. A category jumps to mind, and that is in the midst of, let's pick just one area that I deal with, construction, very painful things happen in the midst of that. I tell pastors in preparing them and their leadership teams, however that's packaged in the church that I'm serving, that James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12, comes out of the page and into living flesh when you go through a building program. And that passage says that we're to count it as joy when we fall into different testing times. God has a purpose, his glory and our good, and he is at work in the midst of that. So, for instance, in 2008, when the economy went kaboom and the housing market faltered, we had projects either fixing to start or already in the midst. And all of a sudden, banks are in a terrible way, and not our company, but another friend of mine. I have a lot of friends who work for church builders and build churches all over the country. The bank pulled the financing out from underneath the church in the middle of the project. The building's out of the ground. You got a roof on, walls down, it's closed in, and they lost the money to finish the project. And I use that one particular example, but that kind of testing time is in a overall event of what's happening when you go through something that is as, it's like open heart surgery is what I tell pastors. You have to look at every system in the church, and tragic things happen at times in the midst of open heart surgery where patients pass away. Well, in this case, projects can die, are greatly affected by it. And so my faith and my ability to try and not change in people, God does that, but helping them prepare for, we don't know what landmine we might step into or what pitfall we might come across, but let me tell you about some of them, because it tests my faith. When all of a sudden you can't get an occupancy permit, or you can't get a building permit on the front end, or financing on the front end, or you have problems with the industry professionals, or your congregation splits, or key donors back away. All those things happen on a regular basis to churches when they go through building programs.
And pitfalls of all shapes and sizes can attack us, and no matter what walk of life vocationally we're involved in. So what would be your biggest piece of advice, out of that passage you referenced in James, to face those kind of challenges, Marshall? And then after that, we'll move on to our next question.
Simply get your mind right and get your heart right. God's going to bring testing times. His word is very plain. Peter wrote about it. James wrote about it. Paul wrote about it. I mean, how much of a clue do we need that he's going to test us? Yeah. And to not be aware and on the lookout and understand that consciously God is testing our mettle to see what we're made of, but also to make us complete and entire, lacking nothing. He is at work in the midst of testing us. And so for leaders and for followers, understand that in your career, he may do exactly that and test you in such a way that you don't want to be tested.
That'll preach. That's good. How about your number one personal habit that drives your career success? What's that?
First thing for my career success, and it's the same thing with my personal success, because they are so closely tied together, is to make certain that I foster, pay attention to, discipline myself with my own spiritual life, that I am dependent on God as much today after knowing him for well over 40 years, 43 years, that I never have to keep from going on autopilot. And I do the same thing in my career where I'm walking along, having success, seeing milestones, you know, come along and working and doing and serving, that I forget about the one who clearly says in John, without me, you really can't do anything. So my career advice is, yes, you want to hone your skills. You want to continue to read, develop, study, take those career advancement classes, work maybe on that next degree, develop on that particular skill, prepare yourself maybe for another career if you see yours coming to an end. But the first thing is focus on God and your relationship with Him. And because it's eternal, and He's eternal, and I'm eternal. You're eternal. Focus on that.
How about your number one business habit? Do you have, in case it happens to be different from your number one personal habit?
Yeah, personal development. I found this in my coaching pastors, both as a pre-construction navigator and as a ministry coach. I found that professionals in my arena with pastors, they read, but usually it's in preparation for communication, for their preaching, for their teaching. And they're reading and giving attention to their own personal development. And in my particular case, in my arena in coaching them, is dealing with their ministry design. It's leadership and developing others to lead and developing processes that are flexible to how they go about making disciples as a pastor who is leading the congregation, whose calling is the Great Commission to make disciples, that I have to continue to focus on my own growth professionally and personally. And so I'm constantly reading. Sometimes I'm constantly rereading so that I am advancing and growing, because I've got to help other people do the same exact thing. And failure to do so, focus on our personal development, may put us in a place where God chooses not to lead us because we have it. Because He can't put us in a new challenge. We're only used to an old challenge, not a new challenge. Prepare for the new challenge. Continue to grow and develop.
Yeah. What's that old saying out there? Luck is where preparedness meets opportunity. And of course, we know that the Lord's in control of everything. So there's really no such thing as luck. But your lesson you just imparted is along the same lines. We need to prepare the field for God to send the rain. And if we don't have enough faith to prepare the field, He may just not send the rain.
Yes.
What about your a productivity tool? Do you have a particular productivity tool, either internet-based or non-internet-based, that you would recommend?
I would tell them several tools I use. Let me just pick two. One of them for me in managing, because I deal with thousands of churches and I'm connected to thousands of churches and individuals through social media tools, that finding a tool, a customer relations management tool, a CRM, and there are lots of different ones to choose from, but some way for you to keep record of what you're doing and then what you're going to do is very important. I use a particular one that nobody else may want to use, but I do that. The second one is to come up with a way to really discover how God has both packaged you and prepared you to serve Him. And you may use, you know, there's a book you can buy called Strength Finders. They have a website. There's other ones that you can use that are online tools. And as soon as I said that, there's several. There's one called assessme.com, another one that's called placeministries.com that help you by taking inventory, figuring out who you come. There's a third one, and the website went out of my mind as I said that, but they're tools that will help you determine and maybe see what your shape is, your spiritual, your personality, your abilities, your experience, all those things. The acronym is SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, spiritual,
okay.
Heart, abilities, personality, and experience. And so both as a person, but also using it if you're in a place where you're helping others really determine where they best fit. In other words, player placement and player development, whether it's in ministry or in the business world, those, what I just said, is a huge HR need where it's just not being done very well.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand how they're packaged and how they're prepared, and they get in the wrong job. Peter principle applied like it did in the retail business where I got shifted over to a leadership role that wasn't a good fit for me, and I failed at it on the front end of that store. And it was a great lesson, though, and I'm glad I had it to help me stay where, to help me know where I belong.
Just go back real quick. You mentioned that you use a particular CRM tool that you don't think anybody else would use. I'm just curious what that is.
It's Insightly.
Oh, I've heard of Insightly. Yeah, Insightly. Yeah, I tried
Google
that.
Based.
Google Base. Yeah, it was very, very interesting. I gave it a test run and decided not to pursue it, but I think it's a great thing to use. Now, something I found recently is called Streak, and it's free. It does have some pro versions, but if you're a Gmail user, it's a great little customer relationship management system that integrates seamlessly with Gmail. So that may be one people might want to take a look at. Next question, Marshall. A lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be. And even though you're in the middle of a ministry market that you're serving, you are in effect in business. So tell me what three things, real quickly, you would recommend to a startup business owner to do in order to head in the direction of success with their business.
All right, let me do this quickly. Number one, if you're going to go start a business, make sure that you can monetize what you're doing. In other words, when I started Ministry Design Concepts back in 2010 when I got the website up, and I had been working on it, moving toward that direction, as I began helping pastors all over the country, I saw a lot of needs, and I knew I needed to come up with some kind of ministry solution website to put resources in front of them. But what I did not worry about was monetizing it. Well, then the Lord put me out on my own doing Ministry Design Concepts, and that was my source of income. And I did not really know how to monetize that particular service. And so I had to figure that out on the run while I was treading water. Secondly, I would pick two things and clearly understand two things. What is your service that you're offering? Do not go shotgun with that. Become very narrow in your focus of what you're good at and what you're supposed to be doing to be able to monetize it and offer maybe just one key thing that you're doing. And number two, know who your ideal customer is. If you're going to monetize it where it's going to make money, it's going to be a good business decision to generate revenue, to cover your expenses and help you have profit, then who are you going to serve? Who are you going to sell it to? And what exactly are you selling? And if you're too general and broad in what you're doing, that is hard. It's contrary to what I thought. Well, no, you just offer all kinds of things and you'll hit all these different people. I would tell them to do the opposite of that and get very narrow and particular, specific in what you're offering.
Mm-hmm. Got to niche down. People need to be able to, people make a buying decision on emotion and then they justify it with logic. So you have to be able to reach people at an emotional level. And it's kind of hard to do that with most products or services if you're just doing a mass market. Of course, you know, there are some exceptions to that, but for most of us, you really have to have a clear understanding of who has pain that you can remove and then communicate to them that you have the ability to remove that pain. And if they believe that, they'll give you money in return for the service of you removing that pain. Marshall, if you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them?
They need to fully identify who they are, how God has packaged them. And this could be for young people who don't know the Lord or do know him. I took a DISC profile, D-I-S-C, dominant, influential, steadfast, compliant. I took a psychological test some years ago, and it was at that point so eye-opening, as it showed me a picture of my tendencies, my posture, and how I was packaged. And I wish I had taken it 40 years ago. And so at the moment, as you ask me this, as we're dealing with business and career callings, I would tell them to go get a DISC profile that will help them identify their temperament and what they're really suited for. And it is, you'll get, depending on which one you take, 10, 15, 20 page readout report for $20, $30, and it can be extremely helpful for a young person to see if their capabilities are really match their interests and passions.
Yeah, I hear you. I took something similar to that years ago called the Career Direct Assessment, which was formulated by the late Larry Burkett, and it made a huge impact on my life. So good advice there.